You are listening to the We Hired a Sitter for This podcast.
We hired a sitter for this.
We have a roster of like 7 sitters.
I'm spending $3,000 on paints.
Do you go to therapy?
Never have, no.
There was a small fire. I put it out.
Real talk, the stakes are too high with my baby.
Comedy, parenting, marriage, life.
We do it all.
I'm a dad and I'm busy.
I have an opinion. I don't know if it'll be right, but
I'm Patrick.
My name is Gaston.
We hired a sitter.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back after long last. How are you, Gastor?
Always good, brother. How you doing, Pete?
You're good. You're feeling all right. You've been in the area for 30 minutes, circling and looking for parking. I feel like we could start this episode with a "What's Dad mad about?" But you're not mad about the parking.
Nah, I mean it's life, baby. You know, I figured low key. I think your neighborhood has been listening to the podcast and they're like doing secret ways of getting revenge on me. They've heard me talking smack about your trading system, your bartering.
Right.
You know, they've heard me talking smack about your Kias, you know, and now they're like, yo, we got to get even with this dude. Yeah. Last week, I didn't even tell you, last time we left here, both of my tires were popped. Real talk.
Vigilante justice. I'm going telling on you, yo. There. That's hilarious.
I'm like, yo, both of my tires be? Like, what's happening over here, yo?
I was going to say, maybe it's the opposite is going on. They've been hearing the podcasts, because what's happening out there is the whole street is blocked off for a film crew, for the meal trucks or the crew. I don't know what it is, but it's a shoot for some kitchen show. Did you look at the sign?
No.
I don't know if you know Bobby Flay, Beat Bobby Flay. Do you know that show? Do you know anything about cooking shows?
No, I know. I've heard the name Bobby Flay, but I don't know. Like,
anyway, that film's here in the neighborhood, and I think they must be using the same studio or something, but it's the blocks and blocks worth of parking is just unavailable. It's all orange cones.
It's insane.
So I thought maybe they heard the podcast and they said, these guys are stars. We got to get them on television right now. Let's get the block locked down and get the trucks out there, because Patrick and Gastor are ready for HGTV or whatever. I guess it's a cooking channel.
I'd love to do HGTV.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I want one of those greenhouses they raffle off.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm dressed dope.
Where do you stand on tiny houses?
I love tiny houses. It's because it's just the grown up version of a fort.
Yeah.
You know, like I love those. Yeah. That's really cool. I know I can't get Gabby into a tiny house.
Yeah.
Like she wants the next house has to be a house. Like we live in an apartment that's tiny already for us. She's like, this is enough.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying is we are doing tiny house living in an urban setting.
Yeah, that's what New York is.
We got 750 square foot to play with.
Ooh,
and
brag, bro.
We got to use every single inch.
Flexing over here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about moving into this office. We're in a 10 by 10 space right now, and I'm like, where can I put a cot? And I'll just come here every night.
Real talk.
The girls need their own space.
You get a queen in here.
Easy. Yeah, I mean, we could do a Murphy bed, flip it down.
Low-key surprised you haven't had it here yet. Like, you know, you get in an argument with the missus. This is your getaway.
But trust me, I've thought about it. I do. There is an air mattress over there that just is from storage spillover. So we could blow that thing up. Just live the divorcee's dream.
You got to do it. I got a shower and everything downstairs in my office.
You do?
Real tough. If I get really in my bag about like my position or something, I could extend that argument.
Does that shower have hot and cold water?
It does. It has everything but an actual shower head, so it would feel like a straight up stream of water on you. You know, I could get a shower head. I have those from the other apartments.
Yeah,
but right now it just throws out water. I would connect it to the hose and like spray the hose up.
Yes.
To create the illusion of shower when it comes back down. Yeah, but I got a toilet. I got a hand wash. I got the whole nine down there.
Nice. And I assume it's like pretty cramped. It's a closed in space.
I would say it's like half of this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes man caves exist for a reason, right? We need our own space. We need our own zone where we can check out a little bit. And the fact that you have running water in yours, I like
it's
that.
Vital. It saves the marriage. In my opinion, not enough women have women caves.
Yeah.
I actually think both people should have their own room.
Well, it's the kitchen, isn't it?
You on your own there, Mike.
I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to get in big trouble.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so the bathroom situation, I don't know how I would make it work here. I'd have to have a bucket system. I can't be showering in these bathrooms. We're in an industrial space right now that has little offices on the second floor.
Yeah.
And I mean there is a canal behind this building. It's called the Bushwick Inlet.
Okay.
It's kind of like the Gowanus Canal. So I guess I could swim in there and see what kind of.
I mean, all you need is a Planet Fitness membership, and you're good. That's it.
How much is that? $20 a month?
And that's expensive. You could get you get the $10 one, and it only lets you go to one.
Yeah.
But you can good.
Go in there, shower with the that's it.
Go on Mondays,
dispenser.
You get pizza.
Mm.
You know
that now, seems. Why are they doing that to people?
I don't know. I just know it's part of the thing.
Yeah.
You know.
They just want return customers.
Hey,
keep eating that pizza. You got to keep coming back.
Keep it, baby. It's the engine, baby. It works.
I've had so many gym memberships in my life that I just end up paying for month to month and never go to the place.
Nah, I've never had a gym membership. I refuse. Yeah. I feel like if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If it's not, it's not. But you ain't taking my money.
Yeah.
I have gym equipment,
yeah.
But I've used it when I was playing a sport. Like, I have, like, weights from when, like, I was in high school and college.
Right.
So I did use them.
Yeah.
You know, but like now they're just like decorative. They're like, oh, yo, you remember the back in the day, B? Hell yeah, that was crazy. I was killing it. Look at them right there.
I tried to do a bit about this once where I had an electric guitar and an acoustic guitar. And I bought these like fancy hooks that you can easily like place them up on the wall and take them down. And that way I could riff or whatever, just like screw around on my guitar. It felt like it was going to be easy, but eventually the guitars just became art that hung up on the wall and never moved. So it felt like I was living in a museum celebrating the man I used to be. So it's kind of like that with the weights. It's just
yeah.
Window dressing.
Oh yeah.
To remember what could have been.
Amen.
Eventually I did sell the guitars and then now they're gone.
Okay.
And I'm okay with that. I've got the pictures and the videos and whatever. Who cares?
I feel like I'm going to go through eras. Like, I played sports in school.
Yeah.
I did a poker era.
Oh, interesting.
You know, I did that right during college.
So are you sharp? You're sharp with cards? Like, you're
not anymore, admittedly. Like, I'm rusty for sure. Like, you'd mop the floor with me in a casino now.
Yeah.
But, like, there was definitely a time where, like, I for real, like, made money just from playing cards.
Yeah.
And then I think stand-up is the era I'm in that, I'm in currently and that has been the longest.
Yeah.
And I think I'll have like one more after that.
Well, I was going to say in your stand up, you may have eras. Like,
yeah.
You are, you know, you're a club comic. You also have like, you're a renowned storyteller. So you're in the storyteller scene. Like, you were going to have an era where you are an executive producer on a sitcom or a.
You've
expressed all of these different interests. So I'm just throwing shit out here. I'm not trying to pigeonhole you at all, but.
You're being aspirational for me. Hell yeah. I hope I get that stuff.
Yeah, like you may be the guy doing 90-minute arena shows or theater shows where it's storytelling and stand up and it's this big beautiful thing. You're going to have the book, you're going to have the documentary, you're going to have all the stuff, you know? So like right now you're in your club comic phase.
Amen.
With your work with the storytelling workshops and stuff on the side, but eventually it's all going to be next level.
I agree. Yeah, I see that. Like I'm definitely pivoting out of the extracurriculars, like the story coaching and working like on that side of it. I love the work. It's just that I feel like, you know, kind of talking about eras, I'm in one where like I feel like I'm in my zone stand-up wise.
Yeah.
And it's also coinciding with like a certain amount of like industry attention
that
I want to like capitalize on. So I want to put a pause on this other part that I tend to do more to feed my soul, but doesn't necessarily feed my bills. A and B, while it's beautiful, isn't necessarily directly on my vision.
It's not the exact mission.
It's a side quest. I've enjoyed it, but like right now I think it's time for me to buckle down. So I'm kind of like winding down that portion of it over the course of the next year. It'll probably be like, I would say by like December I'm gonna 100% be a stand-up.
That's great to like know exactly what is serving you and what isn't and what you enjoy but maybe isn't the right thing right now.
You gotta do assessments, baby. In fact, like I've been thinking about this a lot over the last like week. So we talked about like I'm trying to get healthier. I'm doing pretty good with the walking, but this
month
was...
Yeah, you got extra steps today.
Yeah, I got some extra steps in. I didn't hit my monthly goal for last month, but I was trending that way during the last week. Mm-hmm. I told you I fell off a bit for a bit. And I looked at what I was trying to get done this year, and it felt like I had too many things.
Yeah.
You know, because I broke it down too much. I had goals there that were, they're beautiful to have, but they felt like this is where I would like to be in 5 years, and yeah. I was trying to get there this week.
You're like, maybe I'm going to take off conversational Mandarin from
straight
this
up, real talk. Yo, you think I'm playing? I had wild shit in there, yo.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so yeah, I'm saying it now. I'm only doing three things every day.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to do a workout.
Good.
It could be walking. It could be calisthenics. It could be weight. But every day I'm going to do one workout.
Okay.
I'm going to write jokes for an hour.
Nice.
And that could be literally sitting down for an hour or going out to perform. But if I go to perform, I have to make sure to do at least one new joke per set.
I like that.
Okay. All right. So those two things I think are mandatory.
Could you be writing in your head while taking a long walk and kill two birds with one stone?
No, because I don't work like that. But yes, in theory.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, when I'm walking, just because my neighborhood's sketchy, I'm always like, all right, just be safe.
Head on a swivel.
Yeah. I don't have artistic endeavors in mind. It's like, is that dude packing?
You don't want to be writing punchlines while you're getting punched.
Real talk, yeah. Like, oh, this is going to be a great story later. You know, here's my wallet, you know. But yeah, those two things. And the third one is... I feel like I was trying to do too much on social, and it was burning me out.
Yeah.
I'm going to just only do shorts.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to do like LinkedIn, which was wild. I was trying to do.
That's a wild west of.
Straight up. I was in every social media for like a solid 3 weeks, and like I spent time strategizing on how to do them, and it was cool, but it was too much.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm going to just focus on those three things. Every day, I'm going to work out for an hour. I'm going to write jokes for an hour. And I'm going to post up one short.
Cool.
And that's going to be my agenda for the rest of the year.
That sounds great.
Real
simple. And achievable.
Exactly.
And are you integrating any gentleness? Like if you miss one of those things one day, can you forgive yourself and just jump back on the horse for the next day?
Yeah, I'll say so. As long as I'm trending in the right way. I'm going to be tracking it to see that like my cutoff will be like 65%. Like, I got to be school passing at least. This ain't baseball. Yeah. I can't be doing no 33% gets you in the hall.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I will expect it to get better as the year goes on, but I'll be more forgiving this month and forgiving in general, but less forgiving as the year goes on.
Yeah. Because I'm just a person who, when I was in college, like, I have a friend now who I love. She, every time I talk to her maybe twice a year, she lives overseas, and sometimes she'll say, "Hey, how you doing, man? Are you being productive?" And she is saying it to make fun of me for how I used to be in college, where I always had this attitude of like, I got to be being productive with something every single day, multiple times a day. I was like I just really placed a lot of my self-worth on how much I was getting done.
Hell yeah.
And it burned me out eventually.
Oh, no.
And a lot of my alcoholism in my 20s was because of workaholism and like perfectionism.
Right,
and
right.
Feeling like I'm never going to be enough. And the only way to show that I'm enough is to do a lot. And it became like dysfunctional at a certain point. So
yeah,
I hope it's not I'm getting lazy, because I don't feel like I do a lot, but I put the gentleness first now, or I'm trying to, and then the other stuff, I just have faith is going to come together. But that's also because I'm tired and I'm, you know, like you talk about eras. I feel like my era right now is just like, I feel like when my daughter came, and that's 3.5 years ago, but the pandemic and my daughter and readjusting my whole life to that has felt like being in a boat that hit an iceberg. And now, and I've been in the water, like swimming and like trying to just get oxygen in my system.
Yeah.
And I'm just now in the era where, okay, I'm in a boat and there's I'm in a lifeboat and there's stability, but I'm still finding my way back to land.
Oh shit.
Does
okay.
this metaphor make any sense?
I mean, so, I'm not in water often, but I'm with you. Okay, let's go.
So I think I'm just saying,
I
like, I can't even do, like, I plan to shoot, I'm hoping to shoot this special at the end of this month. I can't even think of like the big goals, or I can think of them, and I do think of them a lot, but I'm just sort of in this era or whatever of like, how do I just get on stage this week?
You know what I mean?
What am I working on? How do I organize this little group of jokes that I just want to shoot and have done for this thing?
Man.
Like, so like, hopefully the bigger era stuff, like the next level stuff, that'll be next year or something. Cause I still, like I said, it's like a regrouping era right now for me.
I like it, man. Yeah. I dig it. And I do think you're doing the right thing for the big era stuff. You're doing the little steps to lead to that.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I'm trying to eliminate thinking about all the other. Like, I want to do all the social media stuff. I want to do all the health stuff. But if I ain't doing this one thing now, I'm never going to get to do the other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I'm hoping is I'm going to do well enough with the reels that someone who is dope at social media will see, oh, Gas was really focused on this.
Yeah.
I'm better at him than this, and I love what he does. Let me jump in on that with him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And same with, like, the health thing. You know, like, they'll see some like, I'll start doing work, and, like, a lot of people that work out tell me that when you work out, you eat healthier just because, A, you need it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, B, you'll be like, yeah, I don't want to undo me working out.
Yeah.
You know, so like I'm trusting the other stuff will start falling into place, but I got to nail these three things. Like it is what it is.
Yeah.
Everything else I could work on later, but if I ain't nailing these three, all of that stuff don't matter.
Yeah.
So like I kept finding like with the social, it was really bothering me because like, again, like I ain't to call y'all out because I got people that work at LinkedIn, but like I'd be like an hour of my day would be gone focused on a LinkedIn post that like has the least rate of return of all the socials for me.
Right.
Personally. In terms of like our career,
yeah,
you know, it's a great social media, but it doesn't really help stand ups get work per se.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, I got to do a LinkedIn post, you know, and like, then like I do that up. I got to get, you know, 10 posts on Threads.
Right.
And like it was wild instead of just being like, yeah, I just got to be funny today.
Yeah. Yeah. And keep it simple.
And keeping it simple, you know, and like nailing one social media every day instead of sporadically doing a different one every day and being stressed optimally because I got 4 of the 7 done.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, nah, I'm simplifying it. It goes a lot more with my ethos too on some samurai mode shit, just trying to be dope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes sense to me. So I'm doing that for the rest of the year. And let's see where it takes me.
I love it.
Yeah, B. We back, baby.
Yeah. Refreshed and excited to move forward.
Easter for everybody, yo. Reborn again, yo.
Yes. What'd you do on Easter? Did you guys go to church?
I did absolutely nothing. I pulled the muscle I've never pulled before. And I stayed in bed.
Where on the body is this muscle?
I didn't even know it was a thing. I pulled under. So it's on my back, but under my back muscle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, like, it was like a test.
Yeah. There's stuff way deep in there.
Dude, I didn't know. And the only reason I know it was different is because I couldn't touch it. Like, I would tell my wife it's here. Like, that's the area, but it's under that.
Are you okay now? Because you're sitting in a wooden chair that I found in the lobby of this building like 2 years ago.
It's providing incredible lumbar support.
It's essentially a shelf. When you're not here, it's just a shelf for my backpack.
Look at that.
Are you okay?
I'm feeling great.
Okay.
But yeah, like I woke up and like I couldn't breathe. Like every time I breathe in deeply, it would hurt and I would feel like something, a muscle there pull.
Yeah.
And it was like, I missed my boy's like birthday dinner.
Oh man.
I stayed at the crib, but.
Wait, and was there an event that caused it? Or you just literally woke up with this?
So, and that's the thing. I ain't want to guilt him because it's his birthday.
Yeah.
Right. His birthday was on Friday.
Uh-huh.
Saturday, him and his missus went out. And then they were doing a family function on Sunday. This is my brother-in-law.
Yeah.
And he's also my best friend, George.
Yeah.
That's my man's. I don't want to miss his birthday and his birthday shindig.
Right.
So Saturday, he's doing date night birthday celebration. So we the in-laws.
Yeah.
Older sister's my wife. They love us, the kids. So they're like, yo, can you babysit the kids?
Okay.
While we do date night.
That's nice.
And then we pick up the kids and then we go out Sunday as a family with all the siblings, parents. Cool. Love the idea.
They hired a sitter for that.
Straight up. I'm the sitter. I'm the sitter, baby. I'm here on the brand.
Amazing.
You know? And I love them. The niece and nephews.
How old are these kids?
Quinn is 8. He's a leap year baby, so it was real dope this year. We got to celebrate his birthday.
And there's an eclipse.
Straight up. It was a whole thing.
I think he's going to become king.
Yo, real tall. Now, my son's name King, actually, so gang gang. You know what I mean?
That's what you call Aiden?
His middle name is King.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Real tall. It was a whole argument. I'll tell you one day. And then my niece, Ryan, she's 4. You know, and she's a sweetheart. She's the only baby of the fam that's in the state.
Yeah.
So, like, I love when they stay over. I sincerely have a blast. My kids are teenagers, so I get a little bit of that energy again.
Yeah.
But
You're playing with the kids.
I'm playing. Not even that. The little one, she loves sleeping on me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
You are a cozy man.
Hey, I ain't mad at it. That's I get it. It's my gift. You know what I mean? Yeah. But, like, when it's time for me to go to bed for real, I can't have that, you know? And plus, our bed ain't built for that.
Right.
So when she was like a year.
So they came to your house?
Yeah, they came to our crib. When she was like a year or two, it was cute. Like, you want to stay in our bed? Fine. But like, we had pivoted to like, you going to stay in Michaela's room with your cousin.
Yeah.
She has a space for another bed there. You sleep in your own bed.
Yeah.
You can still stay over. Cool. She starts crying. She says, no, I want to sleep with my aunt and uncle. You know what she says? She calls Gabby Uncle Gabby, and she calls me Coco G. So neither one of us are the correct thing.
That's really cute. And how does Coco G come about?
She couldn't say uncle, and like I became Coco. And then when she finally learned how to say uncle, she called her aunt uncle.
That's
and
hilarious.
Here we are, you know?
Amazing.
Straight up.
I mean, 2024, you can identify as whatever you want.
Amen. She is an uncle, my wife, and she's proud of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like she stayed in the, and I don't want to blame her.
Right,
but I take a substantial portion of my half of the bed, the whole half. I need the whole half.
Yeah, you use some real estate.
Real talk, I need it. But she wants to share.
Are you
my
a
half.
Back sleeper, a side sleeper? How
I'm
are you
a
sleeping?
Stomach sleeper, and but I can sleep on my back. Can't do side, and I have to do side when she's there.
Yeah,
because she starts out on when I'm facing up. She starts
in
out
the crook.
Next to my arm, trying to like lean in. But when I go to rotate. To go to my stomach, once I'm spinning, she's falling in. You
she's
know?
In the danger zone.
She's in the danger zone. So now I'm forced to sleep sideways.
Yeah.
You know, so I slept sideways, woke up with the janky back.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? And now I'm out of commission for her dad's party. Now I look like I ain't trying to go to the party.
I mean, Ryan should probably lawyer up.
Real talk.
She'll be hearing from your people.
Listen.
And I think this is we're in a world of litigation, and you got to do what you got to do for your health.
George, you my man for real, B. But like, it's your daughter's fault. Okay,
yeah.
I tried like everything I could. I couldn't walk. Like every time I took a breath, I was like, oh my God, I couldn't breathe. My lungs like wouldn't fill up.
Yeah.
It was painful, and like I wanted to get angry, but she's adorable. You know,
yeah,
I'm like I can't do it. You know. But I could also not go to this party, I missed the whole gig.
Yeah, did she notice you missing from the party, and did anybody let her know that it was indeed her fault?
She noticed I didn't go, but nobody told her it was her fault. No, this is the first time I'm saying it out loud to anybody but Gabby.
This is a big announcement.
Real talk.
I mean, we should have a proper press conference about this.
I'm not mad at it. Real talk. Get the press out. Get the multiple. We need more microphones. I want all the networks here.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Everybody should know it wasn't on me. It wasn't my plan.
This is breaking news.
Real talk. Her parents saw me afterward. They went because my kids still went. And they saw me like gimp walking. They're like, "Oh, you really hurt?" I'm like, "Yes, I'm really hurt."
Yeah.
It wasn't I wasn't out partying. I know because like everybody, that's the thing. Because I do stand up, they were doing a brunch. Everybody thinks, "Oh, Gassel's just like you know he was tired from shows." It wasn't that. I was there. I was hyped about the thing.
Yeah,
I was the first one up. It's just I was also the first one down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My back was not about it.
This is child abuse. People say child abuse when a child is being abused, but this child abused you.
Real talk.
I think it's got to be stopped.
And no one sees it because she's the smallest one. They wouldn't think.
Yeah.
Because she didn't use power. You know, she used, it was emotional play.
It was toddler judo.
Straight up.
She sent you home in pain.
I can't say no to her. She knows.
Yeah. So next time they spend the night, I mean, are you going to just have to give the hard no and just say, listen, this can't happen again.
I'm going to look at a face-to-face and say, hey, listen, you're going to have to sleep in the bed by yourself. I'm going to stay in the living room.
Yeah.
You know, we can't have this anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to sleep tonight. And I'll get work done.
And between now and then, you're going to have nightmares that it's just a voice saying, Coco G did this. Or no, you're Coco G. But...
Oh man. That's my people though, man. Nah, real talk. I rock with Ryan. She speaks.
Yeah, that's really sweet. I had a lot of quality time with my niece this past week. I was out in Denver.
Yeah.
Saw my 8-year old niece and got Franny out there with her, 3.5 years old. A lot of girl bonding time and a lot of fun. I'm still recouping. I got back Sunday on Easter. Yeah, we traveled on Easter.
Oh, that's wild work. Hell yeah.
But yeah, it was a solo flight. Me and her, Ross was in Los Angeles. So we just went father-daughter 9 days on the road together.
Oh,
was,
wow. That's kind of beautiful.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. There was one thing I was going to say, though, about your back. Oh, I wanted to ask. Yeah, I'll tell you a little bit about the trip in a second, but there is a theory that back pain comes from it's usually not physical stuff. I mean, it sounds like you were holding your body in a way that you don't normally hold it while you're sleeping, so that probably put a strain on one of your muscles.
Yeah.
But there's a theory, especially with recurring back pain. There's this book called Healing Back Pain by Dr. Sarno.
Okay.
And this book gets passed around in the recovery community all the time because the doctor's main theory is that back pain is a symptom of repressed anger.
Ooh.
So if you have a resentment towards somebody or something and you're angry about it, even if it's subconscious anger, like you think, I'm not an angry person, but I have back pain all the time. What's that about? This doctor would say it's unprocessed anger.
Interesting. My back doesn't normally hurt.
Yeah.
But I, like I said, this past week in particular, I've felt stressed career wise.
Yeah.
So that's been on my mind more than normal, and the idea of doing only three things is something that's kind of come to me this morning.
Sure. Okay.
So maybe that, my back better, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for you.
You know, we back in these streets,
dude. I had horrible back pain for years. Like twice a year, I would get some kind of crazy flare up where I same thing. I wouldn't be able to move. And I used to do a lot of camera work. And I remember being in Chicago on a project where it was me alone doing this documentary about this girl. And I had the moment I landed, I got hit bad with back pain and I had to lay in the hotel room as long as possible. But then I had to just go force myself through it. And holding a 25-pound camera for hours and hours on end while you have this insane pain that I would just work through.
Right.
But then the next morning it would be even worse. Yeah. I did that for a week. It was horrible. And those kind of flare ups came up for years. And it's been a couple years since it's happened again. And I like to think it's because I'm living as close to my authentic self as I would need to be.
You're growing, bro.
Like with stand up for, before I started, it was for years of I know I want to do this thing, but I can't. How do I do it? Even in sobriety, it was how do I just go for it? And the frustration of all that just led to, I think back pain.
It was real.
But yeah. Anyway, it's great to see you.
Likewise.
Back from the trip.
Are you going to be one of those jaded camera people as the technology gets better? Because those kits are getting super light now.
Yeah.
You know, you got cameras where they got full on gimbals and all of that.
Yeah.
And they're 3-4, that DJI thing I saw. It's maybe a 10-pound package versus that crazy thing that people used to carry.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't have a lot of experience with gimbals except for that little one I have. I have that little tiny DJI. I think that stuff's really cool. It's awesome. Because
you'll be yelling at dudes. You're like, yo, back in my day, we had to carry 40-pound
right.
cameras.
Right. My thing is, what I enjoy shooting is Verite-style documentary where you're just shooting for long periods of time and gathering moments that happen organically.
Mm.
And my thing with that is I like a camcorder that you can record hours and hours of footage on and
Ooh.
then pick out the stuff. I don't know. Yeah, I guess I just don't know a lot about the new camera systems and how long they can record for. I think with a camcorder, you can follow a person on foot. You can jump in the car with them. You can go to if you're shooting a comic, you shoot the gig, you get all the material. And for me, of course, you want it to look and sound good.
Right.
And everything to be in focus. But I'm not like a cinematographer in that, I appreciate cinematography. And if it's a film or something I'm working on, then yeah, you want it to look amazing. But
right.
for me, it's all about like documenting what's going on and capturing the essence of who a person is. Mm. But yeah, I mean, I don't think I could care. Some of the stuff I used to carry, I don't think I could do anymore for that amount of time.
Yeah, dope. Game change.
Did you ever know, you ever watch any of the Maisels Brothers films? They were like, they were filmmakers in the 50s and 60s. Like they made Grey Gardens. Have you ever watched Grey Gardens?
Not at all, B.
It's like a classic Sounds documentary. Delicious. Anyway, I got to have lunch with this guy, Albert Maisels, who he's gone now, but he was like 85 or 90 when I met him. And it was this cool lunch, and he was saying how much he loved the little tiny Sony camcorders that don't even look good, but he loved it because he could make his little movies, and he needed something light because he's an elderly man.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I think in any art form, you have to just use the tool that works for what you want to do.
Hell yeah.
Like the quote I like about cameras is the best camera you can use is the one you have with you.
Real
like,
talk, B.
Because if you don't even have one with you, you can't get the shot.
You heard Patrick here.
Yeah.
You need a camera, go steal somebody's camera.
We're getting deep
right
here.
Now. It's the first camera next to you. That's your camera now.
Yeah, just steal the Amazon package.
Amen. Real talk, you somebody did it to me.
Yeah.
There's somebody making hit movies in East New York. You're welcome.
But yeah, man, I was flights with a toddler. Did you ever fly with your kids by yourself?
Nah. Haven't flown with my kids actually yet. My kids have flown,
really?
But only with Gabby.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Even a DR. So you guys.
This trip we're doing this month is going to be the first time I'm with them.
Cool. Well, congrats. You made it through the hard. They're going to be very calm and collected. And
most of my marriage, baby. Gabby taking the L's by herself. I applaud her every day.
Yeah. I mean, it was actually smooth. So her and I flew to Denver a couple Fridays ago, and we came back on Easter. Luckily, she's into the iPad now, and she's pretty self-sufficient. No major meltdowns. Like we had some fights at the airport over like, when are we getting snacks? When are we getting bathroom? Like, and the flight home, it was like every 10 minutes, can I have more candy? 'Cause she got all this candy the day before. And I just ended up letting her eat as much candy as she wanted to.
Oh yeah.
You just got to give in
at some point. Yeah.
It's like, you can't.
I think that, so this is kind of like what we were talking about earlier with the doing the right thing most of the times, you know, like being productive.
Yeah.
I think you're being a good parent means making sure your kid has good, healthy eating habits.
Right.
But for the 3 hours on a flight, you got to serve the greater good, which is all of us on the flight.
Yeah.
So like, yo, give that kid all the sugar that she needs to go to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, get all the hyper energy out. It's going to happen. She's going to get like a sugar spike, and then she's going to knock out.
Yeah, maybe I should have let her do it earlier.
Real talk. I would have gave her all that sugar on the whole way there.
Yeah, so we just had a horror show of an Easter last year. If you want to, folks, if you're listening, go back to, I think, episode 100 or something. We Ross and I told the story of Franny. She got sick on the car ride home because of all the candy she ate, and it was dramatic and horrible, and yeah, I have like PTSD from it. So like, if I give her too much, I'm nervous it's just going to lead to a voluminous upchucking on a flight. I just don't know how that would go. So
gotcha.
But yeah, man, it was great. It was I got to do a bunch of gigs while I was at. I think I was just looking at my list. I did 9 shows or something, and
Whoa. That
was fun to like do the parenting thing all day. And then my sister-in-law came in so clutch. She like put her to bed most nights and did dinner and bath. And I was able to go do gigs and meet a bunch of cool people. And
that's awesome.
I will say, solo parenting all day and then getting on stage at night.
Yeah.
Is not easy.
I'm sure,
like,
it's not.
There were some sets where I was just like, I can't even like form a thought. You know what I mean? Like, I can't remember what I was going to even do. I'm like doing jokes out of order.
Yeah.
I feel drunk. I'm like slurring, and I'm like, I haven't felt drunk in quite some time. The elevation. I'm like running.
Okay.
I'm like running. I'm like running out of
wild.
I'm running out of breath. I'm like, this is, you need more oxygen here. So if you saw me in Denver, you saw a hindered version of me. yeah.
I love that, yo.
Have you been out there? Have you done shows out there?
Nah, I haven't had the pleasure yet, man. But I didn't think I'd have the same issues as like NFL teams when they head over out there. You know?
No, you feel it. You feel it for sure.
Okay. Good to know.
But yeah, I'm trying to think of other highlights.
I feel like that's one of those cities that like I got to look at in general. Like my dream again would be to stay in New York, but I am starting to give real thought to other cities where I could still be a stand up.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I've heard Denver is still expensive, but like it's not New York regardless.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, you know, I'm looking at other cities where buying a home is a little bit more reasonable and I could still get around and do jokes, you know what I mean? Denver might be on that list. I've heard great things about their art scene in general.
No, it's super cool. Yeah, really cool. Awesome, like independent shows all over town.
Hell yeah.
And then up in Boulder. Boulder's like a 30 or 50 minute drive north of the city of Denver. My brother lives in the suburbs south of Denver, so he drove me up to Boulder twice to do shows up there, and that was cool to have him as like a driver and a buddy to hang out with. It was kind of new. That felt new for me, where like, you know, if you do a gig with a comic, you go and you talk and you watch each other's sets or not or whatever. It's rare that you drive home with somebody from the show who's not a comic and like kind of unpack their experience of the night.
Okay.
Like,
what did he say?
Well, it's just like he had like really interesting insights on other comics' material and performances and things he noticed about me and like, you know,
what do you want to know after a set if you have someone in the room in the car with you?
Honestly, very little. Like I want to just like feel. I mean, I'm so self-critical like that. I don't want to like relive the thing that sucked about whatever I just did.
Okay.
I want to like, obviously I want to use that information at some point, but right afterward, I kind of just like, I want to pretend like nothing happened. You know what I mean? Like I want to almost pretend like we just left a movie or something. And then I also, if it went really well, which luckily it did a couple times maybe.
Okay.
If it went well, I feel funky about like being like, oh yeah, no, yeah, it was great. Like, you know, what are you supposed to say?
That's what I do, baby. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I guess like... Like, I love my brother. He's the best. There was one night he was like, yeah, the people next to me were laughing. You know, that line.
Yeah.
Which I don't think he meant anything by it. Like none of the shows I would categorize as a bomb in any way. There was just a couple of things where I was just like, ah, I did said that thing wrong or I meant whatever. And yeah, he overall, he was very supportive and kind and like, one night in particular we had this like heart to heart that was beautiful and you know all that good stuff, but I guess for the most part I typically sort of know what I need to work on or what wasn't working or whatever, and if I hear too much specifics from somebody it kind of like mixes me up a little bit.
Interesting.
I don't know. What do you think? Like, what are you getting at? You like a good kind of constructive
I love
criticism?
Hearing, yeah, I like both. Whenever I leave, I don't want to know in the room, obviously, because we still, like, I think when I'm there, I'm still working. So, like, even after the show, I'm still working.
Yeah.
But, like, in the car, if I'm with another comic, I'm okay with the comic telling me, like, yo, like, you should look at this, or this is a tag I thought of. This worked really well, especially if it's someone I trust.
Yeah.
And especially if I'm asking for it or if I'm working on something. Like, Ayana Dookie is one of the homies. She freaking, like, tore me up once after her show on some shit that I was really, like, raw, like, working on it, knew that I knew wasn't gonna work. And everything she said hurt. And was helpful, really? And I'm incredibly grateful and thankful that she knows that she can do that with me.
Yeah.
But yeah, like she said, every single thing that like my brain was thinking, and it was good to hear another person say, "Yeah, yo, that ate it."
Yeah.
And not only just to say it, but to have the qualifications to say it in a way that it matters.
Sure.
Yeah. And like she knew, she was able to like explain what was missing, what was necessary. And it was a productive talk. Like
so, yeah.
In a way that I don't think I think too many people don't do it. I talked about this with storytelling. Stand ups and storytelling, I think both do the same thing differently. Neither one of us are critical to each other in a productive way as peers. The difference is that in storytelling, the goal is sharing as a community.
Yeah.
And there's no like professional storytellers really, with like exceptions being stand-ups that are storytellers that are saying they're stand-ups.
Right,
you know, like Mike Birbiglia, yeah. whatever. People like that that are incredibly gifted. They're the few people that are making a living telling stories.
Yeah, yeah.
And because of that, the goal being community, no one wants to criticize someone sharing a bad story just because it was important to them.
Right.
That's cool, but it doesn't elevate the craft.
Right.
Stand up, we don't criticize because there's like a weird culture of like, yo, don't help me. You gave me a note, and like not anyone can do that.
Right.
And because of that, we don't always get better, but we get better because there is a professional aspect of it. And as peers, while we won't say, yo, that sucked, we hold each other accountable in other ways. Like, yeah, I won't book them. Or like, you cool, you know, as a person, we won't hate you. It's just you won't get work until you get better.
Right.
So either way, like, I get that both systems exist, but there would be a more direct way if we just said, hey, like, I like what you are trying to do. Try this.
Yeah. I think for me, it's like if I join a writing group, like, and we're sitting around, like, that's what I'm literally signing up for. It's like I need the feedback. Like, I also used to bounce bits over Zoom during the pandemic with Rich Kiyomko, and he's got a really good ear. And I welcomed his notes. And yeah, of course there've been car rides where I'm like, hey, I did that one thing. I don't know. It's weird. Then I'm like opening myself up for it. I can remember one time doing a bit, one of my early like feature sets for somebody. And I literally forgot a part of a premise that would make the joke make any sense at all. But I didn't even realize I did it. And the guy was like, you said this one thing about something or other. And I it didn't make any sense. And I was like, oh, shit. And I listened back to it. And I'm like, oh, yeah. So, I guess it's about the person and do I trust them? And,
right.
You know, improv, I did improv for a while. And you would work with a coach. Like every single practice, there's a coach there.
Yeah, that's dope.
And they would pick apart scenes afterward, like, so tell me more about this choice you made. And
right.
You kind of have to like talk it out and justify whatever you did. And yeah, I think that is valuable. I think it's just like, I'm also not in a groove where I'm getting to go up every single night. So like my sensitivity is like a little high right now.
It's real.
You know what I mean?
Like, As your peer, I understand it. As your friend, I say get over it.
It
is what it is. You're doing that because, you know, I know you have other stuff going on in your life, so you're getting up less right this moment, but it's still just one of the many sets along the journey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, these sets don't matter more just because they're slightly less often than the normal rate you would.
Right.
They're still just part of the journey of the sets you're doing to get to perfection. Either way, it's still going to take the same amount of sets, whether you do it over a year or 3 months.
Yeah,
so exactly. don't make these sets way more.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're still a set.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I also like listening from regular folk for different reasons. I like to understand, like, market. So, like, I'll ask them who their favorite was and why to try to get me to understand. It's the only time I try to figure out ranking, if you will. Like, I'll ask them, like, hey, where did you think my set fell?
Oh, interesting.
That day?
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily because I want to know if I'm the best.
Yeah.
But although I would like to know if I'm the best, admittedly, but more so to learn psychology of it. Like, oh, like, I've noticed that, like, in general, most people prefer the feature in almost every show I see. Headliners do as well as features, but do longer sets. And features are like this weird sweet spot that people just love. Yeah. They're 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And they tend to be the most adored part of the set, exception being if you're going to like an arena where like they're disproportionately there to see the headliner.
Yeah.
So yeah, like stuff like that is interesting to learn because like, okay, I could get a good tape or like a feature really makes my weekend. You know what I mean? I should like book accordingly. And like I'll learn about like how a person who's not one of us is seeing this world.
Right.
You know what I mean? That has value.
Yeah, totally.
It's the most inside baseball episode ever.
Yeah, I like
it. You know what I mean? We in here, baby.
You know, 15 minutes ago on this podcast, you could have hired a sitter so that you could really listen closely to this part. Yeah, I featured Friday and Saturday up in Boulder, and the one night a couple said that thing. They're like, you are our favorite, which I'm not. The headliner I was working with is awesome. I love this guy.
Yeah, I'm positive of it.
But it does feel nice when somebody says
that. Yeah, it's dope. And like it reminds me a lot of like when you're like a high school backpack rapper fan like an indie rock fan, and like there's something about I think there's certain people that like feeling like they discovered something.
Yeah, totally.
You know, so like you're like the diamond in the rough that they could tell people like, hey man, the feature though, you know, he's less known, but he's like really talented.
Yeah.
So yeah, like stuff like that, I think people enjoy doing and they want to be a part of that. So like just understanding stuff like that has always been interesting to me.
Right. Yeah. No, that's awesome. I was going to tag on to something you just said, but I fucked with my chair and it messed me up. I lowered the chair like this and then everything fell out of my brain. But speaking of Mike Birbiglia, he was on my flight Sunday morning.
Whoa.
So getting on the flight, I've got my kid. I've got like, I'm holding all of our bags because she can't. She has no core strength, so she had her backpack
on the way to the gym.
Yeah, totally. Her backpack on the way to Denver, she carried at the airport. It was fine. It had a couple coloring books and a Rapunzel doll inside. Like, wasn't that heavy, but she got so much candy for Easter that it was too heavy to carry. So I'm now carrying her backpack as well. But yeah, it's 6 a.m. We're at the airport. She's eating candy already. And who walks by but Mike Birbiglia toward our flight. And I'm like, oh my God, what is this weird compare and despair moment that I'm having? Because surely he's walking to the gate because it's time for first class to load. And of course, we get on the plane 20 minutes later and he's in first class on Duolingo. And I'm like, does this man ever stop? He's learning another language at 6 a.m. Just take a rest, Mike.
B, keep crushing it, Mike.
And then, we head back to row 20, and I just am looking up thinking, will I ever have that lifestyle?
Did you ever say, you didn't say what's up?
I didn't. He was with a young man who I assume was his opener, because I was eavesdropping, of course, and the young man was talking about something about his set. So I got to research. I didn't even look it up to see if he must have been performing in Denver the night before.
Yeah.
And I'm curious who his opener was. If I was more in on the scene, maybe I would recognize this guy. But it felt cool to see him. I mean, I just respect him so much.
He's one of my idols. He's doing. The stuff he's doing is what I want to do in stand-up.
Yeah.
Like, he's telling full-on personal stories on stage in a funny way, and he's doing them in theater environments.
Yeah.
It's elevating the art form. I'm a big fan of what he does. And lifestyle-wise, he kind of lives what I want to live. I feel like he has the kind of fame where he can still go to most stores and not be bothered.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? But he's also, like, he's able to buy a house in Brooklyn, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
He probably has to like think like, I gotta make sure I pay this.
Yeah.
But he can afford it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a decent life. And if I'm counting your pockets, my bad, Mike. Maybe you're not that well off. I'm sorry, you know. But
I think he probably
I think you're doing okay. Fun fact, I'm such a big fan of his work. I'm a fan of like the production company behind the Mike Mike and Carly.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to work with stand-ups doing stories.
Mm.
You know, they've put up a couple of other really dope storytelling one-off shows.
Mm-hmm.
I emailed them like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, my name's Gastor. I have absolutely nothing to pitch you. I'm just really dope at telling stories, and we gonna work together one day.
Yeah.
Here's my stuff so you can see I ain't full of shit, and I'm saving this email to read it on the Tonight Show.
I love it.
You know, and they like responded back. They're like, yo, looking forward to working with you, like on some like game recognized game shit. I was like, oh,
that's great.
Real talk. And like, I emailed the like, the email that's on the site. That was probably like an intern. Mike and Carly ain't seen that shit, I'm sure. Yeah. But it meant something to me. It was cool. You know what I mean?
Is Carly his wife?
I believe so. It's not a Mike as in Birbiblia.
Oh, okay.
It's a different Mike that happens to work for or with, pardon me, with Mike.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's great.
Yeah, man.
I love that. I love a time capsule.
Yeah, I think those things are cool, man. You know, and I got like a little thing that could be like, yo, Jimmy, look at this email. You know?
Yeah.
We got a moment.
Yeah. I can see it happening. I think the fact that you're able to put so much detail in your vision, like there's vision, you know, there's manifesting and the secret and all that kind of stuff. I think there's something to it. You have to express to people what you want to get what you want.
Yeah, I believe that.
And, you know, some people, I think, shit on the secret. But here's the thing. You back up your vision with action.
That's the thing. Yeah, like, it can't just be talk. You got to actually do the work. Like, I didn't send that email my first year in stand-up. You know, I found out what I was good at. And I feel like I have enough proof of that, not only from my own work, but also documented. Like, I think there's videos of me legitimately crushing storytelling.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think it was out of pocket for me to say that.
No.
I'm a good storyteller, and that one day I might have something that you might find interesting to work with.
Yeah.
I think that's a crazy idea.
And this is where my therapist would say, whenever if I talk about this stuff to her, I say, but what would somebody really want with me? What would... why do I think I deserve that? Whatever. And she would say, no, you're not. They wouldn't be doing you a favor. Like, they need you.
Yeah.
Like, they want you, and you're providing something to them by even putting yourself out there that way.
Amen.
So, yeah, that's great, man.
We out here, baby. Gang.
You're going to be in first class with Mike B.
I hope so, man. Real talk. You know what I mean? I want to drink Diet Coke and...
Unlimited
Diet Cokes, man. In first class. I want to take off my sneakers on a plane.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I do that anyway.
Nah, I don't do that. That's crazy.
You don't know what's on that carpet.
I just feel like you can't do that unless you're first class.
This is how crazy I was on the flight back with the candy. I was like, fine, eat all the jelly beans you want. Here's one that dropped on the seat. Here's one that's on the floor. You take it. I don't care. Who cares about the 5-second rule? I don't want to. Because you know how, like, trash, you got to, like, mind your trash and figure out how to, when they come by with that stupid bag, and like, I'm just like, no, eat the trash. You eat it, then I don't have to think about it. Is this abuse?
Yeah, that's a little much, B. Yeah. You was wilding out right there. I think that should be edited out just for your safety.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the last time that Ross is going to let you leave with her child.
A jelly bean has the hard candy shells. So to me, I'm like, the bacteria can't like cling on to that, you know?
So can your kid eat peanut M&M off the floor?
Yeah, because it's a hard candy shell. If it's something that was in her mouth, like let's say it was a piece, a Swedish fish, and it was wet, and she dropped it on the floor.
That's a no-go.
No way it's getting back in her mouth.
Right, because it's adhesive.
Yes, exactly. There's a glue, and it's just receiving viruses and bacteria off the ground.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to think of what... Okay, so like...
Meat, can't touch anything.
Even like a beef jerky?
Yeah, I think that's okay. Under 5 seconds.
That's wild work, bro.
Under 5 seconds.
The answer is no. Stick to your guns, Munchie.
No, meat, because that's dried out. It's so dehydrated.
Like a plantain chip that drops on the floor.
Well, the salt is a natural antibiotic, so.
Oh, my God.
I would say, yeah, eat the plantain chip. But not a banana.
But not a banana.
But not a greasy, not a fried plantain.
Oh.
I think dry and salted equals under 5 seconds, though.
You are watching me find out that I'm going to have a third kid to take care of one day, yo. Real talk. I just know, like, I would just get, like, a random, like, hey, phone call. Hey, both of her parents died.
They were put in jail.
They were put in jail.
They just kept
eating stuff off the floor. Yeah. We had to call somebody, you know?
Yeah, and that's how the law is now. It goes to podcast partners.
Real talk. It's as close to godparents as we have now.
Yeah.
You know?
Pod parent.
Amen.
You're her pod parent. No, but dude, I gotta say, it was really cool to have like one-on-one time with my kid and
watch her.
Like, she's just we lucked out with her, man. Like, she's just so like outgoing and trusting. Like
clearly.
It took some like setting her up and like coaching a little bit to say like, hey, I'm gonna go to work, but Aunt Lauren and Uncle PJ are gonna take care of you tonight. Well, it was all Aunt Lauren. I think Uncle PJ stayed home one night, but she was prepared to just go with the flow and listen to other people's directions, and it really made me feel good to see her be super independent, you know.
That was
like,
beautiful.
Even at the airport, she would like wander off onto other airplane. She would wander off. Like, she just seems so comfortable in her own skin, and like doesn't like. Of course, she like is always looking for where I am and wants to be close.
Right.
Escalators were a little bit of a thing. She really liked them, but she would get like really scared of them at the last second because she doesn't have a lot of escalator experience.
Right.
Yet.
Right.
Because we just got out of. Like, I didn't bring the stroller on this trip, and we still use the stroller occasionally, like on some walks to school in the morning or whatever, but it's almost done, you know? But this was like, I talked to her for days beforehand. I was like, when we get to the airport, it's going to be a lot of walking, and I need your help walking because I'm going to be carrying all these bags. And even that all went smoothly.
That was dope.
So yeah, it felt like a big victory on several fronts.
I remember when I went to Boise during one of the stopovers, I saw like a dad, he was sitting down on his suitcase on the floor.
Yeah.
And he was holding his daughter's hand next to the escalator.
Yeah.
And she was like maybe 2-3 years old, and she was on the escalator trying to go up the escalator that goes down, and he was just like wearing her out.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was like, yeah, no, keep going. We're almost there. You're almost there.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm doing that. I debated on having another kid just to do that.
Just to, yeah, to have a human hamster in a wheel. It's kind of fun.
Oh, man.
We brought them to, like, several, like, we went to this children's museum, which is essentially an educational play place. We went to two different play places. Went to a bunch of different playgrounds. Playgrounds in Colorado are just picturesque, by the way.
That's dope.
Went to some nature and science museum. We just did stuff. Oh, the zoo.
Hell yeah.
Every single day we were doing stuff that totally wore them out and us. It was cool to like see how far, like how much she can do in a day and like how many adventures she can have. Because like the daycare she goes to is basically a one-room school, you know what I mean?
So then let me ask you then, what prevents you from doing that here? We got all that fly shit.
No, we do that. It's just like this was 5 days in a row.
Okay.
There's a play place we like. Those pictures over there from the Flying Apple play place in Bushwick. There's a few here that we take them to. Like her and her daycare friends, most weekends we see them somewhere. It's here's a lot of playground time.
Yeah. That's you got like, museums, B?
Yeah, yeah. We did a bunch of a few children's museums. The one in Crown Heights is great.
Yo, we out here.
Brooklyn Children's Museum. Shout out to them.
I was broke when I had my kids that age, and I was looking up stuff at the parks department. I was taking them to different parks.
Yeah.
We was learning about different cultures. I took my kids to like Chinese New Year's.
Yeah, that's great.
It was fire. We they was hyped as hell. It was like, yo, what y'all doing? How'd you find out? I was like, I'm poor and I was on the Parks Department website. They're like, you're the first Dominican we had here. I was like, hell yeah, you got four now. Let's go.
That's great.
And straight up, they gave me like all the stuff to like take part. It was fire.
Yeah, yeah. We've done stuff like that. But yeah, man, I think on a trip like that where it's like spring, my niece had spring break, so.
Oh, that's beautiful.
She had off, and my brother and sister-in-law just did an awesome job planning a bunch of stuff. So, yeah, I back in New York, And she, yeah, that's the other thing. I'm so proud of her. She like seamlessly transitioned back, and like she loved the trip. She loves where her cousin lives, but at no point was she like, I want to stay here or I want to go home. Like she didn't do that thing of like, she did miss mom, and like anytime she got hurt, the first thing out of her mouth was mama,
right?
Which was tough to be like, she's not here.
gone.
Yeah.
She's in LA.
Yeah. But then when we got back, even this morning, like or yesterday morning and this morning, walking to school, it's like rainy out. Like at no point was she like, this sucks. Like she really loves it here, you know? So anyway.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Let it grow up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, thanks for watching, everybody. That's our reunion episode.
We back, baby.
Yeah, episode 130 is this one.
We backing them up.
I keep thinking I should say something about this Thursday. I'm doing like a workout show. You're gonna be at QED for Gabe's show.
Oh yeah.
I'm sorry. I can't decide. Like, do you want to open two shows and be stuck there all night?
I would leave after your show, my set.
Yeah, yeah.
Yours.
I was going to say, I haven't. There's a couple of people I just was thinking about asking.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this off air.
We do the work right in front of y'all, baby. Yeah, we booking right here.
Yeah.
I might be at Patrick's show.
Yeah.
He's not sure yet.
So what's happening is on Thursday, April 4th, I'm doing this workout set. I'm going to do an hour to figure out what exactly I'm going to tape at the end of the month at this big event I'm doing. So yeah, if you want to come see me do an hour of comedy on Thursday night, and possibly Gastor, who knows?
Maybe
he'll do a, like 10 or 15 minutes, bring me up, and then he'll go because he's sick of watching me. And I would never ask anybody to like, hey, stay, can you stay? Like,
I would actually stay because you're doing a new hour normally.
Well, I would.
The only reason I would leave, ironically, is because I happen to know that I'm going to have my daughter with me.
Oh,
and
interesting.
And she's going to be coming home from school, then doing the school dance.
That's too late. That's
so yeah, I want to. She's already going to stay with me through the Gabe show.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to see Gabe's show.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to see your show, but that would be two shows on a school night.
Yeah.
That's a little wild of me.
Yeah. And I would love to have you for something where I'm like, I really need his input. I would offer to pay you for that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I just feel like on any given night watching comedy that you're not also on the same show for, or, you know, whatever. It's like a lot to ask of another person.
No, I'm there, baby. I love that shit. That's how we get better. I think you got to do the art and you got to analyze the art. That's how you get good at the craft.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, I'm all about that. It's just, I'm a parent.
Yeah.
So
totally.
So yeah, she coming home from a school dance. I'm gonna have her doing homework at QED.
That's hilarious.
You know? So yeah, after that, we gonna go across the street, get some cupcakes from Layers.
Oh, I love that.
You know what I mean?
Then we that gonna place has some lighting in there,
yo,
man.
Yo, that shit is popping. Have you had the Biscoff?
I haven't.
Woo! That shit life changing, B.
Is it a Biscoff layer cake?
It's a cupcake Biscoff flavored.
Like cookie butter, basically.
Yeah, it's incredible. It might be like legit top five pastry I've ever had.
I might have to join you for that.
Real talk. I don't blame you. You should.
I won't talk to your kid. We can keep our distance.
Oh, yeah.
That happened to me actually on our trip. Last thing I'll say, we were at the playground. I'm meeting all of my niece's like school friends.
Okay.
There's a few like people she knows from school, and we're connecting. I'm just chatting because I was solo with the two girls giving my brother and sister-in-law a break. We're at the playground. We're chatting with these kids, and I figure after 10 minutes of talking, I could say to this kid, I could say, it was like maybe a 10-year-old girl. I was like, so what's your name anyway? And she goes, oh, I shouldn't tell you that. And I was like, you're totally right.
Real talk.
Go have fun with your friends.
Real talk. Well done, random girl in Denver.
Yeah, I was really proud of her.
Stranger danger, okay?
Good parenting.
10 minutes isn't make you not a stranger.
Exactly. Especially somebody like me. I can really deliver the goods in 10 minutes. Yeah. So, anyway.
This face. Keep kids away from it.
Yes.
Except for his own kid. His own kid, cool. Even though that's kind of questionable based on the snacking story I heard today.
Hey, I was holding it together.
Keep him at a distance.
By a thread at that point. all right. Well, thanks again. Great to see you guys. And have a good one.
Peace.